Lesson tonight is from Daniel chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. And 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll join now in reading our psalm responsively, and our psalm is Psalm 93, which is found on page 4 in the back of your bulletin. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt.
Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved.
Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice.
The floods lift up their roaring.
Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea.
The Lord on high is mighty.
Your decrees are very trustworthy.
Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Our second reading tonight comes from Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Pilate entered his headquarters again, and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Weights on the bottom of this stuff, right, Leroy? Well, let me ask you a question, okay? Has anybody ever said, how old are you?
Five.
But has anybody ever asked you, how old are you? And then Do you tell them, well, I'm really young, or do you say, I'm really ancient? Do you know what the word ancient means?
No.
No, it's a big word, isn't it? Ancient. Can you say ancient?
No.
Yeah, ancient. Okay. Elijah knows, but first I want to show you something that might help explain the word ancient. You know what these are, right, Elijah? What are these?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaurs. I brought some dinosaurs with me. And if I wanted to find these dinosaurs, where would I look? Where would I look?
Underground?
Oh, they hide underground? So I wouldn't find them like out on Arnie Nelson's farm with the sheep and the cats? No. Why would I find them underground? They're all dead. You mean extinct? You know what the word extinct means? They're all gone. In fact, some people would say that dinosaurs, well, like they're really, 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 really a long time ago lived, right? Right?
2,000 years ago.
2,000? 2 million? 65 million? Who knows, huh? But a long, long time ago. So when we think of something being ancient, we think of something that is really, 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 really old, right? Like people used to say, as old as dirt, or as old as the hills, right? Now, this past Wednesday night when we had church at Madonna Towers, we were sitting and having pie, and then somebody talked about one of the women that lives at Madonna Towers. She lives up on the towers, and she's 102 years old.
What?
Wow, is right. Is that ancient? Well, it's pretty old, right? But it's not as ancient as dinosaurs, right? Yeah, ancient means a really, really long time ago. So this is Christ the King. It's a feast that we have because Jesus is King. He reigns. So how ancient is God's reign? How ancient is God's reign?
Infinity,
huh? Like from everlasting to everlasting? Has God been reigning longer than 102 years, that woman at Madonna Towers?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has God been king on the throne longer than as old as the hills?
No.
Yes.
And as old as dirt?
Yes.
Yeah. And certainly a lot longer than the dinosaurs, right? Yeah. In fact, the very first king of the world was Jesus. And the very last king of the world is Jesus. He's the only king, and he's the forever king, even when people worship the wrong kings. So if I wanted to find dinosaurs, if I wanted to find these dinosaurs, I could look in my house, right? Because they're in the toy box there.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to find a real dinosaur,
no way.
I'd have to look, you said underground, right? Yeah, Jesus is our king. He's been our king forever and ever. And the one who is on the throne, the king, is the one who's the boss. That means that whatever he says goes, because Jesus is king. Let's pray together, okay? Let's do a repeat prayer. You ready, Micah? Fold your hands, buddy. Here, fold your hands. Dear Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are my Lord forever and ever. Whatever you say goes. Amen. Thanks for coming up. One of my favorite hymns includes these words. It's a beautiful hymn for Christ the King. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Christ the King, from everlasting to everlasting. Or as you heard in our first lesson for tonight, Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days. The first King, the last King, the only King, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ, revealed to St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos. The faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Our God reigns. The year was about 1100 BC. And Samuel was a prophet, and Samuel was a priest. And the people were complaining. Imagine that. God's people complaining, grumbling. We want a king. We want a king. We want a king. We want to be just like all the other peoples, just like all the other nations. We want a king. And so Samuel took this appeal to the Lord. He prayed. And then the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, you're taking this kind of hard, Samuel. You think they're rejecting you? I always have been, I always will be Israel's king. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting my sovereignty, my lordship, my kingship. They would rather have an earthly king on a human throne rather than the Ancient of Days, from everlasting to everlasting. You see, God is the one who created me and all that exists. God is the one who said, let there be light, and there was. He created the heavens and the earth. And out of the dust and the earth, God formed an earthling, Adam and Eve, made in the image of God. And God rescued Noah and his family from the great deluge. And God spoke to Abraham and Sarah when they were 75 and 65. God called them and God promised them, you're going to be ancestors of a nation, a people, a language so numerous you can't even begin to count them. And God took his people when they were slaves in Egypt. And God took them out of captivity and brought them through the wilderness for 40 years and into the promised land. Samuel, my people are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. Be careful what you ask for. God might actually give it to you. Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be just like all the other nations. And so they got a king. Saul, who was a big disappointment. And then after Saul came David, who Scripture says had a heart for God. But David also had a heart for sin. Created me a new heart, a clean heart, a right spirit, David prayed in Psalm 51. And after David, there came his son, Solomon, who expanded the kingdom of Israel and made it glorious at the expense of high taxes and slave labor and by bringing all kinds of other gods into the kingdom. And then after Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel began to collapse. God's kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting, but the earthly kingdoms, they rise and they fall. So there was the kingdom in the north, Israel, the kingdom in the south, Judah, a divided kingdom. And eventually the Assyrians conquered, and then the Babylonians conquered, and then the Greeks conquered, after the Persians and the Medes, and then the Romans conquered. You see the kingdoms? They come and they go. Our God reigns, the ancient one, from everlasting to everlasting. That's why Jesus says, I'm Alpha and Omega. Before time began, after time ends, our God reigns. Now, how many of you remember when you were a kid playing a game called King of the Hill? Nope, Scott Shelby never played that game. It was too dangerous, right? I mean, a lot of us didn't want to play it because you could get hurt. Plus, it was a very competitive thing. It was kind of a nasty game because if you wanted to be on the top, you had to claw your way up there. I mean, it might have been a big mound of dirt. In the wintertime, it could have been a big mound of snow. King of the Hill. You got to pull the one down who's up there, or you got to push him over. But you got to get him off their throne so that you can occupy the throne. It was a game. Now, there were playoffs for football recently, just yesterday. And I happened to turn the TV on, and I caught just a little bit of Lakeville North playing Eden Prairie. Now, I didn't know the whole history until the paper came out today and said Lakeville North finally won. Class 6A. Whew. That's the big dogs. That's the big players, right? That's the King of the Hills. In fact, they've been in the playoffs, Lakeville North, for 7 years. And finally, this year, they got rid of the king. Eden Prairie had won last year, and they got dethroned. And now Lakeville North, they're king of the hill. They're the top dog. You see, the kingdoms of this world, they rise and they fall. And what started out to be a kid's game has become kind of the way a lot of people play life. How we get ahead, how we preside over someone, rank above someone, because if we're going to be the king or the queen, if we're going to be royalty the way the kingdoms of this world work, then we got to step on somebody because somebody's got to be below us. And no one had better be above us. It was 2 years ago in the fall that Joe Theismann, an NFL quarterback, right, at one time, NFL great. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. He's got one of those Super Bowl rings. He was the MVP, Super Bowl 17, 1983. He played for 12 years in the NFL and 163 consecutive games. Absolutely amazing. And so he was speaking at Liberty University on homecoming weekend to a bunch of college students about the real meaning of life. And as he gave his testimony, and I listened to it, you can go, that's the nice thing about the computer, you can go and you can actually listen to all 38 minutes. As I was listening to it this week, what dawned on me is how God provided an awakening in his life through the cross. Through the cross, which is where Christ the King receives his crown, the coronation of our Lord. And Joe Theismann, he said, I knew why the Washington Redskins had defeated the Miami Dolphins in Super Bowl 17. I knew it was all because of me. I knew it was because I was such a great person. And I didn't need anyone. I was self-sufficient. I was a God of my own making. And then all of a sudden in 1985, I was playing for a team that was 4-4. And it was a Monday night game against the New York Giants. And as I came running through the tunnel, I said to myself, tonight, everything changes for you, Joe Theismann. Everything changes. Tonight's your night. Well, he assumed that meant prophetically that he was going to get the Washington Redskins back on the winning track and back into another Super Bowl. He had just gotten a 5-year contract. He was in the first year of a five-year contract, $1 million a year, and in 1985, he was the fourth highest paid player in the NFL. And so in the game, he called a flea flicker. That's where you hand it to your running back, your halfback, you know, the fullback, whatever they want to call him, Riggins. And then he goes like he's running, he tosses it back to the quarterback, and then you throw the ball. And somebody's going to be wide open, but nobody was wide open, and the pocket was collapsing, and Lawrence Taylor, some of you know that name, football great for the New York Giants, he got Joe Theismann. And Joe Theismann said, I heard two pack, pack, and two bones broke in his leg, and he had to be carted off the field. And the damage to his leg was so severe that he never played another game of football. And so he is, 2 years ago, speaking at Liberty University to these college students, 18 to 22, about what matters in life and what doesn't. He said, God had to bring me low so that he could lift me up and help me to see the truth. See the truth. I thought it was all about me, all about my throne and my kingdom, he said. And I thought I was sufficient and needed no one. And then God brought me down. He humbled me. And he taught me that all of those skills and gifts that I had that I took for granted, that I was using for my own glory, had been endowed to me by the Creator God, the Ancient of Days, so that I could use those skills and gifts to glorify his name and to praise his kingdom. And then he looked at the students and he said, life is a gift and God has blessed you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said, use the life, the skills, the gifts that God has given you so that you can keep Jesus where he rightfully belongs. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. God reigns from everlasting to everlasting. And then Joe Theismann said, 6 months ago, my daughter Amy, age 43, died. And that was another awakening in my life. This is homecoming weekend, he said. And in Christ Jesus, all of us can look forward to a homecoming where we will be with the Ancient One from everlasting to everlasting. Kingdoms rise and fall. In our gospel reading for tonight, John chapter 18, we hear a portion of the passion narrative. And the conversation is all about kingship and kingdoms. It's an enthronement story. And it shouldn't surprise us because we know that from the very beginning, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. We know that instead of being born in a palace and being wrapped as a newborn in nice, soft silk, he's born in a stable, and he's laid in a manger, and he's wrapped in bands of cloth. The same kind of cloth that he'll end up being wrapped in through a linen shroud at the time of his death. And we know that his kingship is different from the kingdoms of this world because, well, when he was with the crowds, do you remember? He didn't say, so what did you folks bring me? And he didn't say, I'm hungry, feed me. But instead, he said to his disciples, they're like sheep without a shepherd. You give them something to eat. Yeah, but 5 loaves, 2 fish. Give them to me, Jesus said. He is, you know, the Ancient One, from everlasting to everlasting. He blesses it, he breaks it, he gives thanks. And 5,000 men plus women and children are fed to the full. They're satisfied. And 12 baskets of leftovers. You remember when he said to the crowds, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And so when he finally found a cushion in a stinking fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee, he laid down to get some rest where he could find it. And there was a huge storm. And the disciples were in a panic. And they roused him and said, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" Not just die, but perish. And Jesus says, "Be still." And the storm ceases. It stops. And the disciples say, "Who is this? Even the wind and the seas obey him." What he says goes. Our God reigns from everlasting to everlasting. And so it shouldn't surprise us that when we come to the coronation of our king, he comes into Jerusalem on a small little donkey. And the people cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna." And so Jesus is brought before Pilate, the governor of Judea. And the first question that Pilate has is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Are you repeating a rumor or are you making a confession?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate says. "What did you do?" I mean, there has to be a reason he's brought there, right? "What did you do?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." "Oh, so you are a king," Pilate says. Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I came into the world, to proclaim the truth, to reveal the truth. And all who know the truth follow me." And Pilate will say, "What in the world is truth?" You see the disconnect? He can't see the forest for the trees. He's staring at the truth, the way, and the life right in the face. And he can't see it. He says, "There's a custom. According to the custom, you can have the king of the Jews or you can have Barabbas." "We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas." You know the story. So what does Pilate do? He's between a rock and a hard place. And so he says, "Well, let's flog this guy. let's do something nasty to him. Let's just rip chunks of his skin off," right? And then to mock Jesus, he has a purple robe placed upon Jesus and a crown made out of thorns. Pilate then goes to Jesus and says, "You still aren't going to talk to me? Don't you know? I'm in charge. I've got power. I've got the authority here, the authority to release you or the authority to have you crucified. You know that, right?" And Jesus says, "You'd have no authority unless it had been given to you from above." The kingdoms of this world, they think they have authority. And the only authority God gives them is to serve on his behalf for the good of his people. Pilate takes Jesus out and says, "What should I do with your king?" And the crowd say, "Crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" And they say, "We have no king but Caesar." People would rather have their earthly kings and kingdoms rather than the everlasting kingdom of Almighty God. The one who is Alpha and Omega, the one who is the Ancient One, the one who by his blood frees us from our sins. He loves us. And so Pilate puts him on the cross, and his coronation is complete. And Jesus breathes his last. And the sign above says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the religious leaders say, "No, He said he was. We said he's not. Change it. And Pilate, ironically, says, what I've written, I have written. The coronation of our Lord. I was reading this past week, because I don't know a lot about royalty and all, and about kings and queens and all this and that. There's a queen that's 92 years old. Now, did you know that there's all kinds of protocol when you're in the presence of royalty? I mean, this is what people must do for the Queen of England. You don't speak until you're spoken to. That's the rule. You don't touch the queen. I mean, if she extends her hand, you can then carefully, cautiously greet her. But you don't touch her. You don't eat until she eats, and when she puts it on her fork, you're done. And do you think that if I had a little fireside chat with this 92-year-old, do you think that I could say, well, Liz, what you thought about this? Oh, no, Your Majesty, you don't even call her Elizabeth. That's the way the kingdoms of this world work. And they have the rules and they have the decrees. Jesus, on the other hand, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus not only touched people, he let them touch him. You shall call his name Jesus. A real common, ordinary name in the first century, by the way. Can you imagine what that means? The one who is the first king, the last king, the one who is of the ancient days. And he says, my name is Jesus. You can call me Jesus. Huh? A different kind of king. A king who makes a decree and says, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. Who says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Never. A king who says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And as he is being crowned on the cross on a Good Friday, a king whose final decree, the words, it is finished. Mission accomplished. Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious, or all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.